Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
So talking to my brains is very therapeutic for me. I learn so much, you know, and we have a candid conversation. It's real, it's authentic, and it's therapeutic for me. So I absolutely love what I do here on the edge. Yes, I do. Brains, we got another brain right there. That's Heather Nardi. We're going to talk about the love language of an empath. You know me and my $25 words. Everybody's throwing out this term. I'm an empath. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a coach. You know, are they overusing the word? Do they really understand what that means? The impact, you know, the influence, because this ebbs and flows. There's different degrees. When you just say, throw out a blanket term, I'm an empath, it's not like saying I'm a vegetarian and all I eat is vegetables. You know, there's different stages of that. And what's really impactful is when it's happening to a child that doesn't have the life experience to be able to separate fact from fiction, to be able to explain their emotions. How they do that is by acting out. And then what do? We take them to talk therapy or put them on medication or isolate them from school. And it just turns the whole family upside down until we figure out what's going on. So Heather is going to talk us through that. And she's got an amazing monthly video blog on Facebook and a great group, the Empath Mamas. You got a lot of followers there. So we're going to talk a little bit about what she does and how she does it. Welcome her to the Edge Brains home, right? Hello, Heather.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Here's to you, darling.
Oh, yes. Cheers.
Yep. So tell my brains a little bit about you, your story, and how you show up in the world.
Sure. So first off, I always like to say I am a mom because that's like one of the most important jobs or part of me. And so I have a 15-year-old son and a 21-year-old daughter. Coming to you from Minnesota, which has been the heart of a lot of things going on right now.
Girl, let me tell you, I can't even begin to tell you what's going on.
I know.
I
just got the chills on that. Yes. Yeah. So as being an empath and all of this going on here in my home, I'm in the suburbs of Minneapolis, been feeling a lot of anxiety and emotions. So I'll kind of explain why. And the whole world is feeling that as well. But when you're an empath, you feel a lot of things, emotions, intense, differently. You feel it almost as if they are your own when they're somebody else's.
Wait, so I'm going to interject a little bit in here because I don't want to miss a point.
Yes.
So when someone says that they are an empath or they have empathic tendencies, mm-hmm. is this something that is physical? Metaphysical, spiritual, psychological, or all of the above?
That's a great question. I think it could be all of the above. When I heard the term empath, somebody described it to me about 7 years ago. I was at a metaphysical store looking for crystals for my daughter who was struggling with mental illness. And at that point I was like, I will do anything. I will stand on my head or, you know, do whatever, jump around to help her with her struggles. So when I'm explaining what my daughter was feeling, and I'll touch a little bit more, the woman there described an empath to me. And I was like, that is my daughter. And it was like this moment of just, we switched our path. And I'm like, I am too, as you know, I am as well. And that changed my direction and the way I look at my past as a child. Really what it is, I mean, we have empathy. Most people, most humans experience empathy towards somebody. Some people don't because they're on the other end of the spectrum where they don't experience that at all. That would be like narcissism.
That would be, okay, that's what I'm saying. Is that
yeah?
That,
yeah. So there's
another term that everyone's throwing out. Either I'm an empath or he's a narcissist.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of in between, right? You're not one or the other. There's a lot of in between in there. So an empath would be a highly sensitive person, which was coined by Dr. Elaine Aaron. And that is somebody whose nervous system is so in tune that we can feel things on just a higher level, our nerve, you know, our physical, emotional, physical, or I said that social stimuli, everything is just highly in tune. Like I jump easily. My kids think it's funny, but they'll sneak up and I just can jump, or smells, or so our nervous system is different. We're just really highly in tune to things. But then an empath, so I say I'm a sensitive empath. So I'm a highly sensitive person, like I just described, and an empath. So an empath takes that highly sensitive person to another level. The empath is where I can feel the emotion of somebody else, but it feels as if it is mine. So like with you and, you know, having going through any kind of struggles, or I could feel it and I'm like, is this mine or is that hers? I don't know. I'm really feeling it. So you could feel it physically. If somebody's feeling ill, you might feel ill yourself. The emotional piece, I could feel that and want to cry, or I could feel that and I'm happy. So,
now, you know what? Other people will label that as a hypochondriac.
Well,
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, no, that's a great, yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeah, because, okay, so you're feeling the feels and, you know, you're doing this and you're doing that. So it's really important, brains, that you pay attention to what Heather is saying, and do a little more deep diving for yourself, but so that you understand the difference, because, you know, folks, all they want, you know, they want to sit on their ass and label you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get it wrong.
Oh, for sure. Well, and what I will do is if I'm feeling like really anxious, but I hadn't been before, like I was living my life, I go to the store, I'm feeling all fine, but then all of a sudden something comes on really quick. I'll ask myself, is that mine or is that somebody else's? Because it was very sudden and I didn't have any reason. Like there's nothing in my life that I should be feeling that anxiety. So I ask that question, or I'll even step away. Maybe not if I'm at a store, but if I'm in a group of people, I can step away and see if that feeling is gone. Mm. So that will kind of show you, or if you always feel it around certain people in your life, or if you feel it, if, you know, I'm always at this location that I go to. When I drive past that one school that I had a really bad experience, you know, I have this sense. My daughter has that. Mm. She had a bullying situation at her high school and she hated to drive by that building because the building almost had all this emotion tied up to you know,
in energy. It holds a lot of energy.
That energy, right? We're so sensitive. That's it. We're so sensitive to energy. So that's really what it is as well. We're feeling, emotions are energy. So we're feeling that. We're so in tune to the energy.
So you really struggled with your daughter. You know,
yes.
She's had a battle. Firstly, how's she doing now?
She's doing well. Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
And she can identify her triggers.
She can.
And she can work through them with whatever modality she needs to, but she knows what to do to make herself feel better and calm down.
Yes.
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 Is she around a circle of friends or people that understand who she is, or does she set a secret?
Right. She has a very small group of friends and her family.
Yes. I got a small group too. Yes.
I think a lot of people that are empaths or sensitive have a small group, but it's important to have the right people around you that you can show up as your true self. And,
right.
And she has found that, but it was a struggle when you had to pretend who, you know, you're someone different in junior high and high school. And
you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of negative self-talk because you're hearing all the chatter from outside. There's a lot of shaming. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of judgment.
Right.
You know, and mental health, it's at the top of the list right now because you can't see it.
Right.
You know, you can't taste it. You can look at someone that's, you know, maybe had a limb amputated and see that. You can look at someone that is, you know, going through cancer treatment. You can see that. But mental health, and people are afraid of people with mental health because they can go from a flicker to a flame.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know that media helps with that as either because.
Right. So, you know, and again, you're seeing a lot of these, you know, shootings that's going on with Black kids. And some of them are mental health. And so people say, well, what are we going to do? We're going to defund the police? No. Because who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? You know, you need the police. But they need to be able to have, they don't need training. Because I don't need you to be a police officer, a doctor, a lawyer, and a mental health advisor. You need to have that incorporated in your team, your PERP team. That goes out and knows how to deal with these situations from cradle to grave. They know exactly what they're doing, how to be empathetic, how to approach, you know, how to de-arm, all of those things. So as a parent, though, I know that that can really be a challenge because there's no off switch.
Right. Well, and she was originally at 8 years old diagnosed, was her first, with generalized anxiety disorder. And how it showed up was very aggressive behavior, throwing, hitting, even like swearing. And it was because she felt so out of control herself, but that was how she had, that's how she reacted. And I want to go back to, I think what a lot of stuff is happening in the schools and they're not able to handle all of it, just like the police. It's like they're required as teachers to handle so much.
Too much.
And so when she was in high school at the, I think it was seventh grade, she was having school avoidance and not going because she was having so much anxiety and depression and also suicidal ideation. And we were told to call the police to pick up our child and bring her to school. And I was like, there is no way I'm going to put my child that's struggling with mental illness in a car to be driven to school. That's like a punishment. That's like, oh, and have another son who would be observing that, a younger son. So I think there's so much that's happening that needs to be challenged, right? That we're seeing this stuff being challenged as well. And a lot of things.
Identifying and diagnosis. And
yes,
you know, it's a cocktail. What medications are going to work? As children progress, they start to self-medicate in some situations, alcohol and drugs, because they know that they're out of themselves. And so they just take it to another level. I have a family member that was diagnosed with ADHD and schizophrenia at 8 years old. And he has been in and out of prison. And he's 25 now. Never given a chance.
Yeah.
And I would go and see him and he would be at this facility and just in the corner comatose because they don't want to be bothered with you. So let's medicate you.
Right.
Let's keep you sedated. Let's keep you relaxed. You know, but never actually working through it. So you have another child. Mm-hmm. And I know that there could be an impact because I had another guest on my show. This may not be your situation, but you can chime in. They had a lot of anxiety themselves because the child with the mental illness needed more attention, constant attention. So they felt slighted. There was a bit of resentment. There was some hostility. There was some showing out because they never felt that they were able to get the attention that they deserve. Also in a relationship, in a marriage.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people just check out, you know, I can't do this. If a child is disabled or whatever, color in some of the white spaces. Did you experience any of that? Or do you know anybody that experienced that? And how did they work through it?
Yeah, I personally, my son is such a different personality. He did not, at least at this point, has not acted out, but he did try to behave better. He would do things and be like, Mom, look at me. I'm behaving really, you know, better than Ellie or, you know, better than my sister. So he would go to the extreme and try to do things to make me happy when I probably look sad and frustrated. And he is such a laid, I think God gave me these two different children for a reason. He is such a laid back, casual kid, but I still have to watch because I don't know if at some point it could shift. So we are aware of that there could be something he's holding in and at some point it could come out.
Is that a little bit of a, I don't want to use the word paranoia, but is it a little paranoia instead of being totally optimistic?
You know, and I have that awareness, but I don't focus on it. So it's not like he's so striving for so many different things than his sister. Like, I want to go to college and she doesn't. And so I don't even put it really out there. I think it's more back in my mind. Right, like, right. Yeah, if I see something, I'll ask him and then we'll go from there. But I hope not. I hope I'm not putting it out there as that.
No, and I mean, you know, it's just a real authentic conversation because there's somebody out there, you know, and that's on the empath mama that's going to see this. That absolutely is feeling the same thing. And, you know, they don't want to ask the question.
Yeah, and that's it. I think don't focus on it. Just acknowledge that that is a possibility, but like that is not one of my daily focuses. I kind of almost forgot about that when I'm speaking with you, but I know I've said that to my husband years ago that we could do that. In our marriage too, we really struggled with him parenting differently. He's very authoritative. That is not the best way really to parent sensitive children. Because they're so wise beyond their years and they want to question things. And if you have more of an authoritative parent, that's like, you know, listen to me, I'm right. You know, that really diminishes their spirit. And I was more of a laid back casual parent. So my children really, I think, were confused on our parenting styles, which I believe caused my daughter anxiety too. So, we did come together later as my daughter got better around 14, as she kind of we were seeing some changes in her and in me. I had to really work on myself to be the parent she needed. And then our marriage really has been strong the whole time because we have trust in each other and we have respect in each other.
Right.
And I think that is so important in a relationship. So even if he said something I didn't agree with, we would talk about it later, but I respected him.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, get some counseling and a little canoodling.
For sure, whatever.
A babysitter.
But I have seen relationships fall apart.
Oh yeah.
For sure. I oh, did we freeze?
Nope.
Relationships, I believe, if they're strong and, you know, you have that foundation already, you can grow closer together. But if you need to step away, I mean, if it's not a good relationship that your children are seeing, if the two of you together is not good, I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but don't feel guilty to separate if that's best for everyone too.
But then that's a hell of a situation because now you're a single parent dealing with it all by
yourself. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't want to tell you what to do, but for us, we were able to. Yeah.
Well, that's good. You know, and that takes a lot of faith and that like takes a lot of commitment. Because again, it's not just about the child. It's not just about me, but it's about, you know, you, your husband, your child, and your two children and the relationship. And you know what? Intimacy.
Yeah.
Because that's important. You know, I'm going through a situation right now that my mother's in hospice care and I've got guilt. You know, my husband is fantastic, you know, but I want to make it a point to get off the computer and go in there and hug and kiss him, you know, rub his feet, see what he's doing, because everybody wants to be needed and women are naturally empaths.
Yeah.
We feel, we want to nurture, we want to understand, we want to be compassionate, and it's too much doggone work sometime, Heather. It is. I'm just keeping it real. What do you do for yourself? What do you do for yourself? Not for the family, but for yourself. Yeah.
You know, over the years, I have been really good about practicing self-care. So I like to take a bath at night. My husband will even buy me wine. He remembers to do that. And those are the little things like I think are so big. Like when he buys me something he knows that I enjoy, like that fills my heart. In the morning, I have my own like morning practice and ritual I do and meditation. And I do like to take a nap once in a while too. So
I love a nap. We call it noon. That's me and my daughter say, "Ooh, mommy, it's noon time." We love a nap.
Yes. I think that's so important. So if you're not practicing any type of self-care, you have permission. It is actually so important to do that, especially moms, because we give and we give and we give so much that you need to take care of yourself.
Absolutely. So let's move forward. So now you get this diagnosis when you go into this shop. you meet this woman, you know, right. You a spiritual intervention, because that's what I think it was. You got to download.
Oh, I feel, yes, totally.
Okay. And so now you go home and you say, I'm going to try this, this new secret sauce for success. What happened? What was the turnaround?
Well, the turnaround, and there's a lot to it, and I'm writing a book, so there'll be a whole long story in there, but there was more synchronicities and divine intervention that happened. So my daughter actually asked if she could go off of all her medication. She had just returned from 7 months stay at a mental health facility. When she returned, she asked, could I go off of medication? And that was scary because she'd been on it so long. So we did, and we did that slowly. And now when I asked her, when I was writing my book, I asked her, she does not remember that comment. I think that comment came through her as a message. And again, we did it safely, and I don't tell people to go off. This is our journey. And then I can explain what we did. We then had all these right people come into my life. I was managing a networking group for women, and all the right people were coming to my meeting, like people talking about Reiki, which is a healing modality. And, you know, all these people that I'm like, oh, we're going to try that and that to serve my daughter in a different way. And it just blossomed into this beautiful journey that we went a whole completely different path. Mm. I think too, I had to be very open, and I healed a lot of my stuff, my old yucky stuff. And intuitively, I also followed my intuition. Like when my daughter said that comment, I heard it, like that is, you know, right. My husband was like, not quite sure. And, you know, we didn't do it immediately, but we had to think it through. And so really listening to your child, what intuitively they are saying, right. And then what I felt intuitively was right. But also common sense to do things safely. Like I took a leave of absence from work. I was present in case she had issues coming out of medication. So I'm not like super spiritual world. I'm like both combo of, you know.
Well, I'm super spiritual because I know, honey, I know.
I have the common sense piece too.
You know what? It's the edit and filter.
Yeah.
And so many people are extreme on one end or extreme on the other end.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you take your daughter off this medication and you start seeing results and changes, and the light bulb is coming on and there's a little bit more harmony. Did you just break down and cry? What happened?
No, I never did. I should. Wow. No, I think that I just had that like, it's the right path. You're doing it right. It was just that acknowledgement of, I knew this was what was meant to be. And then I was like, I need to share a story. There is a story behind this of why we experienced all of this struggle for mental illness for 8 years, this other side that we went like more of a holistic spiritual path, and why, and the bridging of it all together. And so, and what an empath is. And when I heard that, how it was like, that is who we are, and to not fear it, and to think that it's a great gift or a trait that we have to share out into the world. And you do hear that word a lot, empath. And I say to some people, yeah. And I hear people being like, I'm really tired of hearing that word. And so I feel like if you hear it and it feels who you truly are, then you are. But I know some people are going to say, oh, I am. Maybe they want the attention of it. I don't know if they think it's something, but it's really a challenging.
It's trendy. It's like organic. It's like organic or fat free.
Right.
I mean, you know, they just toss it around.
I know.
Like $5 bills. And that does you a disservice.
It does. I was just
another one. It makes you very disingenuous. At low levels and low balls, the people that are really experiencing this, becomes an excuse.
Right.
You know, so it really diminishes. But you took all of this experience, wisdom, pain, trauma, and joy, and now you're compiling a book. Right. Share with us the book, and, you know, you're going to do a reading for us too.
I'll do that real quick. It's not very long, but yeah, the book is in developmental edits right now. So the tentative date of it being released would be probably October of this year, 2021. This has been a 4-year long journey of writing. It's kind of gone through different cycles of how the story is going to come out. But the title is The Empathic Parent and Child, Journey to Healing and Acceptance. And I'm just going to read a little bit from my chapter 7, Understanding the Highly Sensitive and Empathic Child. And the name Ellie would be my child. So when I read that, you'll understand here. I was often called too sensitive as a child. Being sensitive caused me to avoid certain situations or groups, observe more than speak up, blend in with others, not stand out, and feel lonely even when showing a happy face. I could sense those same intense feelings in Ellie even as a young child. I didn't realize that being sensitive is a gift, not something we should suppress, but something to nurture into greatness. I didn't accept who she was as a child and who she could become. I tried to model her into someone else, and that caused disconnection and lack of trust.
Well, you know, that's powerful, because I think what's even more powerful is that she received it. Mm. You know, she had been so combative with so many other outside influences for so long that she just kind of gave into it. And again, brains, a lot of times you just got to submit.
Yes.
You just got to bow down and fall to your knees and say, I surrender.
Surrender. That's what I was going to say. Surrender. Yes.
You have to surrender to it. Mm-hmm. And you will be surprised at what you find. I had a great download the other day. I'll tell you offline the whole story.
Okay.
But I had a dream. And in that dream, it was very clear to me that you need to surrender. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, no question, no qualm. And I went from the 12th floor down to the basement, and it was just a straight drop. And within minutes, I felt a little weird, Heather, mm-hmm. because I was so calm and I was so cool, you know, because you're used to being hyped up and angst up and anxiety and fighting and combative and you got to be right and all this kind of stuff. But when you just say, you know what, I surrender. Wow. It's amazing. And that's what COVID has taught me more than anything, is to really take that extra time to breathe, to mm-hmm. pause and surrender. So mm-hmm. I think what you're writing in this book is very powerful. And tell your daughter, you know, thank you so much. She's my Shiro. Aww. Because she's opened up herself to allow other people to look inside her brain and dance with her and tell her story. There's millions of people out there that are going through the exact same thing. You started an amazing Facebook group. It's called Empath Mamas. And on that in that Facebook group, you have monthly conversations with a co-host. You say you pick a theme and you talk about it. And I, you know, said, and I watched it. You really kind of go very methodically through what these conversations are. You banter back and forth. You may agree or disagree, but you're not disagreeable. And you try to give people options and choices. Tell me about your Facebook group.
Yeah, so Empath Mama is our Facebook page. And then we have a Facebook group as well. But the conversation, yep, every month. And what was happening was my friend Amy and I were just having these conversations between friends. And we thought others would probably be interested in what we have to say and what we're saying. Because we really have those, I think, empaths and sensitive people like the deep conversation. We don't like the surface level. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? We like the deeper conversation. So that's what we wanted to show. And you're right. We don't always agree. We have different, you know, ways we were raised. And so we bring different things into the conversation. And she's very intuitive. So she has a different perspective on some things.
Now you've rung this bell 2 or 3 times. You talked about the way that you were raised.
Yes.
You know, the other big thing that people are exploring now, outside of being an empath and eating organic, is generational trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You identify, this is a challenge that I have with people. They identify who they are, what they've been through, but that's like their tagline. It's like the first time I meet someone, and I say this with love, sisters that have, you know, had abuse, you know, hi, I'm Betty, and I am a victim of sexual assault. Why does that have to be your calling card? That is a process that you went through. identify and introduce yourself as the woman you are right now. That's your backstory.
Yes.
That's your backstory. And people always put that in the forefront. And again, when I hear that, is it a judgment? I try not to be judgmental. But judgments are ways to edit and filter. Judgments are based off life experience. So when I hear that, I'm saying to myself that this person has still went through some challenges. You know, they're still in that victim mode. Generational trauma, you know, and people are talking about that. That's very big now. How do we combat this endless cycle of pain? And, you know, people are really down to the genome. You know, they're saying it's in your DNA. It's down to the cellular level. How do you break through with that? Now, you mentioned it a couple of times that you've had some challenges, you know, with your upbringing. And, you know, how has that impacted your life or still impacting your life?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I just started to study epigenetics, which is the DNA, that information that is stored and passed down. Because I've been right when I wrote my book, I wrote a little bit about it. So I think that I'm still healing from some of it, the trauma that I experienced. And it's more that I believe my family were all very highly sensitive people, empaths, maybe even spiritual type people that try to hide that or just diminish who they truly are. And that created what looked like mental illness to a lot of people. Because I have grandmas that were in institutions for mental illness. And so I can see that pattern. And I think too, what I learned through my own healing was I was not accepting the truth of who I am. And my parents never really understood who I was. And then I took that and I didn't accept my daughter until later in life for who she truly was. So I think what does happen if we don't heal, and I feel like I'm changing that pattern. I want to change that pattern. So if you don't take ownership of what has happened to you or to your ancestors and try to heal from that, it's going to move forward for generations until somebody does take that on and heal it.
And healing, brains, is not forgetting.
No, no.
It's not suppressing. It's not denying. You know, it's working with it and it's saying, hey, you know, this is a part of who I am, like my finger or my nose or my eye. This is a part of who I am. Now, how do I make the best out of this? How do I sharpen this knife? How do I take the challenges and turn it into my triumphs? And that's right. What you have done. And I think that you've done an incredible job with yourself, you know, your children, and your marriage. So I give you credit 110% because it's not easy and it's not over, you know,
right.
It's not over. The journey still continues and we never know what's going to unfold, but at least now you have a GPS. You have some sense of direction on where you're going. You have some tools, you know, you have some choices and some options. And if it doesn't, you know, line up and you don't identify with it, then you go to the next step. Correct?
Right. Correct. And that's what I tell a lot of people. I tried many different things until I found what worked for me. And so it is, it's trying to find what will work for you, whatever you're trying to work through. You know, there's so many different modalities and people that want to help and serve and guide you. It is, it's finding what works.
And brains, you know, a charlatan, okay? You know, when somebody is trying to pull the wool over your eyes with some trickery. And I'm hip y'all to the trickery all the time. So edit and filter and take your time. There's no quick fix to anything, not even fixing a tire. You got to take your time. You've got to be strategic. You've got to be very methodical and you got to be accountable. If it doesn't work out, step back and say, okay, that didn't work out. Let me try something else, but never give up. And you haven't given up. And Heather, I think that you are so special. I really, really do. I'm so glad to have you here on the edge with me and the brains and opening up, because you didn't have to share all of your personal intimate business. I tell brains all the time, these folks come here to share, to educate you. They, you know, they could keep this to themselves. They've been through these trials. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to follow you and the other empathic mamas.
Yeah, I mean, most of social media and my website is Empath Mama. So empathmama.com. And there you'll find a phone number and an email if you want to contact me directly. And Empath Mama on Facebook, Empath Mama group or Facebook group. And then Instagram, we have an Empath Mama based Instagram account. So pretty much anywhere social media, you could find us. And feel free to reach out to me. And if you need any support, I'm really open to, you know, helping others and supporting. That's really my mission. And that's why I share this.
Well, that's a blessing that you even have the bandwidth and the capacity to continue to share, you know, cause I know that they done sucked you dry. I know, you know? And so, but I'm glad that you do the self-care, which is important.
Yes.
You focus on everybody in your family, yourself, and you focus on other people. Thank you again for being here on The Edge with me and my brains. Brains, I need you to go and subscribe. Okay. I need you to subscribe to everything we got going. LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Leave comments. You know, Heather wants to know that what she's doing is not in vain. She wants to ask questions. Maybe you can connect. You know, we are global, all over the planet. You know, 76,000 in 42 countries. That's a whole lot of people. And I'm sure there's a whole lot of empaths in there. Real ones.
Diamonds, real ones, right.
Right. Diamonds in the rough. So thank you again, Heather, for being here on The Edge. I appreciate you and I value you and I honor what you're doing.
Well, thank you for having me.